ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 3, Text 33, Translation and Commentary by Servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Iti Bhagavatam Dharaman Shikshan Bhaktya Tad Uttaya Narayana Paromayam Anjastarati Dustaram Iti Bhagavatam Dharaman Shikshan Bhaktya Tad Uttaya Narayana Paromayam Anjastarati Dustaram. First translation. Thus, learning the science of devotional service and practically engaging in the devotional service of the Lord, the devotee comes to the stage of love of Godhead, and by complete devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, the devotee easily crosses over the illusory energy, Maya, which is extremely difficult to cross. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami has pointed out that mukti, or liberation, which is described in this verse by the words Mayam Anjastarati Dustaram, is actually a byproduct or secondary result of pure love of Godhead. In the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is pointed out Dharamaf Projita kaita votra paramo nirmatsaranam satam vedyang vastava matravastu shivadang tapa trayon mulanam. Srimad Bhagavatam teaches the science of devotional service in which the ultimate goal is pure love of Godhead. According to the Vaishnava Acharyas, mukti, or liberation, is a byproduct of love of Godhead. Shivadam tapa trayon mulanam. One should not approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead for liberation, since one is automatically liberated by obeying the order of the Lord. Krishna's order is given at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadharman parityajya Mamekang Sharanang Raja. Every living being should give up his mundane conceptions of life and take full shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. If one carries out this order, the Lord automatically provides liberation. Mukti, actual happiness, comes from loving God without any tinge of mental speculation or fruitive desire. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma dhyanavritam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhaktiruttama. One should render transcendental loving service to Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. So, crossing over the insurmountable ocean of illusion, as described here, is not actually the principal result of Bhagavata Dharma or devotional service to the Lord, but is a byproduct of pure love of Godhead. little bit of adipotic place there. Not sure which Buddha it is, but some Buddha or other. Hare Krishna. Iti. This verse begins with the word iti. In other words, it's summarizing what has gone before this. In the purport is quoted the verse of Srila Rupa Goswami, which summarizes the whole endeavor of Krishna consciousness that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed as the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana kama adhyana avritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktirutama. This is, for those of you who may not know the translation of this, I hope everyone does. The motive to be free from all desire, or acting with that intention of purification in the service of Krishna, in a manner favorably to Krishna, being cultivation of being free from anything but the desire to serve Krishna, not covered by karma or jnana, that is called bhaktir uttama, the highest level of devotion. So this verse comes at the beginning of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Rupa Goswami was commissioned by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to commit to writing the teachings that Lord Chaitanya gave. The teachings of Lord Chaitanya, they are meant to bring the followers to the highest level of devotional service that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself came to taste and to distribute. Anarpita chirin chirat karunyavatirno kalau samapiyatum unatojvala rasangs vabhakti shriyam. Hari Purita Sundara Duti Kadamba Sandipita Sada Hridya Kandare Spuritu Na Sachinandana. Did you find something wrong in that? The way I said va, I said na. Va means may that Lord Chaitanya, who has come as the son of Mother Sachi, may he come. He came to give that which had not been given for a very long time, which is the topmost resplendent mellow of pure devotion to himself. May he ever be resplendent in the core of your heart. That is the blessing of Rupa Goswami. But I didn't say va, I said na. Va means maybe he be in the core of your heart, and na means may he be in the core of our heart. So it changes it from a blessing to a prayer. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur sometimes quoted it like that. So this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. This is the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada, he didn't quote this Anyabhilashita Shunyam verse so much as a verse from the Bhagavatam itself, which gives the same meaning. Savai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhokshaje ahaitukya pratihata yayatma suprasidati. The highest, actually Srila Prabhupada translates this as this highest occupation, because in this context in the Bhagavatam, the word dharma is specifically referring to, if we see the other verses, it's referring to varnashram dharma. But of course, the verse itself refers to what's been stated in this verse here, which we're reading today, Bhagavata Dharma. So the whole Varnashrama Vibhagasha, all the divisions of Varnashram, they're meant to lead to this stage of pure devotional service, which unmotivated, uninterrupted, to fully satisfy the self that is the supreme dharma for all living beings, to the Adhokshaja, the supreme Lord, who is not seen by mundane eyes, which again gives a hint that we have to go to Ata Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grahyam Indriyai Sevon Mukhe Hiji Vado Swayam Eva Spurati Ada. The Supreme Lord, or Krishna, his name, form, qualities, and pastimes cannot be appreciated by mundane senses. He reveals himself to those persons who engage in his service with an attitude of service, which again suggests a haitukiya pratihata, without motivation, without cessation, without covering of karma and jnana. So one who engages in his service in this way, beginning with the tongue, Krishna reveals himself to such a person. And these verses are quoted by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which Srila Prabhupada has translated as the Nectar of Devotion, to bring out this point that is summarized in the Anyabhilashita Shunyam verse. Now this verse is a definitive verse for everyone in the Sampradaya of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to shower the ecstasy, the bliss of Krishna consciousness, which he as Krishna was so anxious to taste that he stopped being Krishna. Krishna stopped being Krishna. God resigned. I've had enough of being God. I want to be a devotee. That's what he says. He didn't exactly resign, but he doesn't have to resign because he can do everything all at once. But Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. He accepted the bodily luster and the feelings of Radha just to find out how good it is, just as we see. Is there a picture here of Krishna sucking his toe? Is that one of the pictures that got here? No, that's a famous picture. It's a very famous picture of Krishna sucking his toe. Is on the other side, is it? Yeah. In South India, I see it's more famous. And in the Tanjavur style, that's a very popular painting, isn't it? Krishna sucking his toe. He's sucking his toe at the back. He doesn't do it on the altar. On the altar, he's God, but at the back, he's sucking his toe. So he's sucking his toe to find out, hey, all my devotees are anxious to taste the nectar from my toes. It must be pretty good. I want to find out what it tastes like too. So in the same way, he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to find out, what is it that Radha's tasting? Hey, I'm supposed to be God. I'm supposed to be the supreme enjoyer, but she's enjoying more than me. It's not fair. I want to be Radha. See, instead of the women wanting to be men, but in the spiritual world, the topmost man wants to be a woman. And that actually our whole sampradaya, the Gaudiya Sampradaya, you'll find again and again and again, the Acharya Narottam Das Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they're praying that to take birth as a woman in the spiritual world, not in the material world, to serve who? To serve Krishna. Radha, Radha first. Radha Krishna. So we're talking on a very high level here. It all begins with Anyabhilashita Shunyam. That's the beginning. The greatness of devotional service in Laghutakrit, sorry, Moksha Laghutakrit is summarized in this purport, that it makes liberation seem insignificant. That liberation, which is the very highest level of conventional Varnashram Vedic life, the search for liberation, astonishingly becomes insignificant to the devotees who are fully absorbed in love of Krishna. And the idea of impersonal liberation is kaivalyam narakayate yat karunya kartaksha vaibhavatam tam gaurameva stumaha. For someone who's just got a little glance of the mercy, little of the merciful glance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the idea of impersonal liberation, which is so much valued by very intelligent persons who have seen that this material world is worse than useless. Very intelligent, very committed, and therefore they want to become liberated from this world, but they're not devotees of Krishna. They're highly elevated persons. But Prabodhananda Saraswati says that for someone who's got a little of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that liberation seems like hell. So pure devotional service, from the very beginning, what Rupa Goswami is talking about, or guiding the devotees, how they can taste the nectar of devotion, the bliss, the rasa amrita, the bliss of exchange, loving exchanges with Krishna. He gives the key to enter that very rarely entered sphere, sudura labham, very rare to attain. In the beginning, defining pure devotional service and its characteristics, the characteristics of pure devotional service are the how does that begin? Kleshagni. Kleshagni Shubhada Moksha Laghutakrit Sudurlapa Sandra Ananda Visheshatma Shri Krishna Kashanichasa. Pure devotional service, it destroys all suffering, destroys material existence. It bestows auspiciousness at the highest level. It makes liberation, which is considered so high, seem insignificant. It's very rare to attain. It places one in transcendental bliss, profuse happiness, and is so attractive that it attracts Krishna, the all-attractive. But the beginning is to have this attitude, anyabhilashita shunyam. Now, jnana kamadhyanavritam, pure devotional service should not be covered by the desire for anything material. So that doesn't include the artha and artharti of Bhagavad Gita. Those persons who approach Krishna for relief of distress or for monetary gain, they are not counted among pure devotees. So to approach Krishna for some material reason, that's quite understandable, because why should we approach to get something which will simply cause more trouble? But then why should devotional service be free from the desire for moksha? Why should that be? Because we're suffering in this world, that's a fact, and all the scriptures say, and we can practically experience that. Why should that be? Does God want us to suffer when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us that Mama Janmani Janmani Ishvare Bhavatad Bhakti Rahaitu Ki Twai? He teaches to pray to Krishna. Why should we want liberation? Birth after birth, I want to serve you without motive. That means we have to suffer, is it? And God wants us to suffer. That sounds more like Christian religion, where God creates everyone and throws most of them into hell forever. But that's not, doesn't sound like a very good idea. That's not a very nice God, is it? According to at least the Christian teachings that I was taught, most of the people are going to hell, which means God creates them. Most of them he sends to hell. That's not. So why should it be? Why should pure devotional service be free from the desire for liberation? And even we see there are many prayers by devotees for liberation, but the teachings of Lord Chaitanya are not to pray for liberation. The idea is that we should be completely selfless, and that the feelings of devotion to Krishna, they're so overwhelming that the liberation, we're not interested, especially not in personal liberation, because in personal liberation that crushes or it makes impossible the possibility to serve Krishna. Even if we're suffering in material existence, or we're taking birth again and again, there's the possibility to serve Krishna. But if we're oming in the impersonal Brahman, then there's no possibility to serve Krishna, unless you could take it as a very indirect way. You could become a little bit of the light which lights up the spiritual world and is reflected in the material world. So making moksha seem very insignificant, it shows that bhakti is not insignificant. It's such a high thing. And of course, this feeling that or lack of feeling, lack of desire for moksha, that is at the stage of bhava bhakti, when one is already highly advanced in Krishna consciousness. If we see the verses that have come just before this one in Srimad Bhagavatam that we're beginning today, that we're reading today, we find such statements as, well, the few fairly well-known verses here, parasparanu katanam pavanam bhagavad-yashaha, that parallels the machita madgata prana verse of Gita. Mito ratir mitas tushtir nivritta mita atmanaha. One should learn how to associate with the devotees of the Lord by gathering with them to chant the glories of the Lord. This process is most purifying. As devotees thus develop their loving friendship, they feel mutual happiness and satisfaction. And thus encouraging one another, they are able to give up material sense gratification, which is the cause of all suffering. So you can see that parallels the Madhchitta Madgata Prana verse. It's very similar to that verse of Gita. Then another fairly well-known verse comes after that. This is in the just before the verse we're reading today. Smaranta smarayantascha mito ghauga harang harim bhaktya sanjataya bhaktya bhibratyut pulakang tanum. Devotees remember Krishna and help others to remember Krishna. Smaranta smarayanta. The devotees of the Lord constantly discuss the glories of the personality of Godhead among themselves. Thus they constantly remember the Lord and remind one another of his qualities and pastimes. In this way, by their devotion to the principles of bhakti yoga, their devotees please the personality of Godhead, who takes away from them everything inauspicious. Being purified of all impediments, the devotees awaken to pure love of Godhead, and thus, even within this world, their spiritualized bodies exhibit symptoms of transcendental ecstasy, such as standing of the bodily hairs on end. And then, kvachit rudantya chutta chintaya kvachitta santi nandanti vedantya lokikaha nrityanti gayanti yanushilianti ajang bhavanti tushnim param etya nivritaha. Having achieved love of Godhead, the devotees sometimes cry out loud, absorbed in thought of the infallible Lord. Sometimes they laugh, feel great pleasure, speak out loud to the Lord, dance or sing. Such devotees, having transcended material conditioned life, sometimes imitate the unborn Supreme by acting out his pastimes, and sometimes achieving his personal audience, they remain peaceful and silent. So this is describing a level of absorption in devotional service. So it's not a very cheap thing that someone just starts chanting Hare Krishna and all of a sudden they feel moksha to be insignificant. It requires a significant level of spiritual advancement. That devotional service makes liberation seem insignificant. This is demonstrated by Srila Rupa Goswami with many quotes from the Srimad Bhagavatam of devotees praying to the Supreme Lord that they don't desire liberation, they only desire his service, and statements, Kapila Dev, that, what did he say? Vinamat Sevanam. What is it? Diamanam Nagrananti, Vinamat Sevanam Janaha. My devotees, Sarupya Sarshti Salokya Sami Pyam Metad Evatat, something like that. My devotees, they don't want these four kinds of liberation without service to me. And of course, there are many prayers also by great Vaishnavas. Kulashekha Mukundamala is very, very popular here in South India among the Sri Vaishnavas. Mukundamala Stotram. So it's a standard theme of highly advanced devotees that they simply want to serve Krishna without even desiring liberation. How great is devotional service? How much more exalted it is than following the rituals of karma kanda, being a good brahmana, or anything else that's described in the Vedic way of life. Aho bhata svapacha togariyam yajjivagre vartate namatubhyam tepas tapas te juhuvur sasnaraya brahmanucha namagrinanti yate. For one who is constantly chanting the holy names of the Lord, even if born of a very low family, they have already surpassed all the high-grade practices recommended in the Vedas, such as visiting holy places and bathing there, studying all the shastras, performing austerities, and so on. This is the super excellence of pure devotional service, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam. And it is important to understand this very point, because it is easy to misunderstand it, and then if we don't properly understand it and embrace it in our life, then we may miss the point altogether. I had several years of experience in this lifetime, and quite likely, or possibly, in previous lifetimes, of being in the land of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in Bengal, and finding so many people chanting Hare Krishna with madangas and kartals, but falling in the category which the pure devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they call upa sampradaya. They're doing many of the things right, but some of the things they do wrong. And some of the things they do wrong are so wrong that it cancels out the things that they do right. And upa sampradaya is based on upa siddhanta, or wrong understanding of the conclusions of devotional service, which was very important to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he was not only relishing the ecstasies of Krishna consciousness, but he was very concerned that Krishna consciousness, the teachings, be properly understood and propagated, which is why he spoke to Rupa Goswami and to Sanatana Goswami with the express purpose that they should commit to writing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bhakti Siddhanta Viruddha, Arasabhas, Shunale, Prabhu Chite, Nahoyolash. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't like if there was any introduction of anything, any philosophical conclusion which was against that of the pure bhakti siddhanta, the proper understanding, or rasa bhas, portrayal of Krishna's pastimes, which are not accurate and misunderstanding of the feelings of Krishna with his devotees in a manner that is not pleasing to Krishna, nor to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So as this movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the pure flow of Krishna consciousness, is predicated on this principle, anyabhilashita shunyam jnana kamadhyana vritama nukuvyena krishna nushilanam bhakti ruttama. It's all predicated, everything develops from that. The whole Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the book, and the book by the name Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and the whole ocean of ecstatic mellows of pure devotional service, it's all based on this principle of selfless devotional service. In short, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's words, Krishnarte akila cheshta. Everything we do should be for Krishna's sake, not for our own sake. So in the same way, this whole movement, our international society, Prabhupada's International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we can also say our society, as we're also allowed to take part in it. It's all predicated on this principle, and the same principle applies if we, as at the time when Rupa Goswami wrote, if we follow it nicely, then our path back to Godhead is clear, as it says here. Mayam anjastarati dustaram. Maya is very difficult to cross over, but it becomes very easy if we take this Bhagavad Dharma, if we take it as it is, to use those famous words of Srila Prabhupada. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also warned, when describing the metaphorical bhakti lata, the vine or creeper of devotional service which grows up to the spiritual world, he also warned that we should be very careful of upashaka, which means weeds, which may resemble the actual bhakti lata, the creeper of devotional service, but is not. The creeper of devotional services is watered by shravan and kirtan, but perchance, if we water there happens to be growing a plant or plants which are not the pure devotional creeper, but which resemble that, then instead of anukulyena krishnanushilanam, cultivation of devotional service which is pleasing to Krishna, then we get something else. So that is the great danger. And it's not just a historical danger, it's always there as long as the cultivation of Krishna consciousness is going on by persons who are prone to be influenced by the illusory energy. And it's serendipity or whatever for the translation. You don't know what serendipity means. It means good luck. It's an easy way of saying good luck, something like that. That or it is something which just happened, unexpected. So I have to speak on this verse today, and it just so happens that Maharaj has kindly proposed to speak with me, and we're speaking yesterday and we'll speak today. Some concerns he has about certain concerns of mine. So all my concerns are summarized in this, that my concern is to that the movement which Srila Prabhupada gave us is founded on this principle, anyabhilashita shunyam. And we have to be very, very careful to keep it on that principle. Otherwise, we miss the point altogether. So that's it in brief. The talk on this could go on in great depth. But as Srila Prabhupada warned, not to boil the milk, which you're also very concerned with, isn't it? To bring devotees in and then to that initial devotion that they have to concentrate it. Bhakti rasamrita. Amrita also means milk. So this is something which actually in the Western world, I don't think there's any idea of this, boiling down the milk. I think that's only in India. They make cheese and different things, cream they take from the top of the milk, but boiling down the milk is something in India. Then you get rubbery and different things like that. So Srila Prabhupada is concerned to boil down the milk. That means take out that which is not essential. What is essential in the milk that makes it amrita? Milk is also called amrita. What is it that makes it so tasty? It's not the water part, it's the cream part or the ghee part. So taking out the water, boiling the milk means gradually by heat, by tap, heat, some tapasya. Then the water comes out and then you get very nice. We never imagined in the Western world there could be such nice sweets as rubbery and rasmalai, and it's almost time for prasadam. But you won't get that this morning here, I don't think so. So that's my concern, in brief. That even we may be expanding, but expansion, yes, but first we have to see that things are properly in line. That's all I have to say for now. I have many things to say. We should all have many things to say about Krishna. But I'll finish there now. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Woo, those hands went up quick. But Maharaj is up third, but he has priority. He can jump the queue. There are some advantages to taking sannyas. Not as many as you might think.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. This very important verse from Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, Anya Bilashita Shunyam, is the ideal which we have to follow, but at the same time, especially in the beginning of devotional path, everyone encounters with the reality of his heart that Anya Abhilash, or not even Anya Abhilash, but Anya Abhilashita, the desireness, the habit to have desires is there. And what does it mean practically in the beginning, how we can in practical terms fulfill the ideal of this verse, encountering this reality of the heart?
Well, my understanding of this is that it should be clear what we're aiming for. It's not expected that everyone's immediately going to come to the platform of total desirelessness, but that should be the clear aim. And without that, then, all kinds of malpractices can come in. One thing I saw prominently in Bengal, I just mentioned my experiences among what we could broadly call the Sahajiyas of Bengal, is that it's well known that bhakti is a very pleasing process. And it's very happy and joyful. And chanting Hare Krishna is joyful, and Krishna's pastimes are joyful. But the basic defect that I see in all the upper sampradayas is that they think that bhakti should be performed and we enjoy it. We become happy. It's not how Krishna will be happy. It's not that they're... For most followers of any religious path, they don't think very deeply about what they're doing. The number of philosophically minded people will always be very few. But just like to give an example, in a kirtan, kirtan performances are standard part of Bengali Vaishnava culture. Kirtan performances, and it's almost like in the West we have rock groups and this kind of thing. I mean, they're not gross rock groups like that, but there are bands who go from place to place and they perform. And people watch, and it's an interactive experience. They act out being because they're supposed to be full of bhav, so they act that out, and sometimes they fall on the ground and cry, and people will call out, bah, which in Bengali means, wow. Sorry, in English it means, wow, something like that. Anand. So that's it. That's the hallmark of something, of a good performance. Anand. I'm feeling, we're all feeling happy here. So that's my analysis. They perform devotion. They lost the point that's not being preached, that how we have to do everything for Krishna's pleasure. And they'll say, oh yeah, well, we are doing it for Krishna's pleasure, but the motivation, oh, it's a big topic if we get into it. When the guru is a profession, and the speaking Bhagavatam is a profession, and we can't say that those who do so are totally devoid of devotion. So it's hard to find out, because they do have a feeling for Krishna, obviously. We can't say it's not there. Otherwise, why do we make so many... Why do so many people join this movement in Bengal or in India in general? It's because they have a background culture of devotion to Krishna is there. It's not absent, as in I don't know, Iraq or somewhere like that. So we can't say it's just all totally bogus, but at the same time it's going on in such a way that people are not going to go back to Godhead, because the clear point isn't there. So therefore Srila Prabhupada wanted ISKCON to be the core movement, to be brahmanas who understand all these things, set the highest example, which doesn't mean they roll on the ground, they may fall on the ground, but they're not supposed to make an exhibition of that. But they show the ideal example of how to practice, and they teach what is the right standard for people to come to. And that's there in Varnashram society. The brahmanas are there. It's not expected that everyone's going to be at the level of a brahmana, but that is the ideal to follow. So it's not expected that everyone's going to come to the highest level immediately, but there should be some who set the proper standard by words and by actions. You have a question, it seems. Or is it going to be a comment? Hare Krishna. He offered me a lemon. Your mind is highly agitated.
And I am completely under the illusory energy of
Maya. You are completely under the illusory energy of Maya.
Because of what happened.
Well, we're all in the same situation.
A couple of days back, under the altar of this Lord, in the same temple. Because of what happened in the president's chambers, a couple of days back, no, I'm completely agitated.
All right. It sounds like you have some specific personal problem, which is maybe better not to discuss in this assembly here.
All right.
So let's leave it for now. Huh? All right. Shall we finish then? Mataji has a question. Why are you asking questions? You've been attending Bhagavatam class for the last how many years? 25 years? Is it?
Yes.
You should know all the answers by now. You're asking just for the elucidation of others, enlightenment of others. Yeah, okay, please.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, actually while doing service to Lord and devotees, we feel happiness. So that comes spontaneously.
Oh, yeah.
So that time we don't think that Krishna is pleased. So how to understand?
Oh, that's a big danger. Huh? We become happy in devotional service and we become attached to the happiness. Then we have to read Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu about Dharuka. You remember that? In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Dharuka, who was the chariot driver of the Lord, who was fanning him and feeling such ecstasy while he was fanning him that he became stunned. And then if you become stunned, then you can't do fanning. And he's thinking, what is this ecstasy? To hell with this ecstasy. I want to do my service. It can be a very subtle line. That doesn't mean that we should stop being happy. We should be. If we're not happy, there's something wrong. Why aren't you happy? You're in Maya, Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atma. You're all in Maya. There's at least once and maybe more than once devotees seeing a photo of Srila Prabhupada looking quite sad, and they asked Prabhupada about that. Actually, I know of two occasions when this happened, and why do you look so sad? And Prabhupada said, that was a moment of ecstasy. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Vancha kalpa tarubhyas chakipas indu bhavacha patita nam pavanebhyo. Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna.